In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I woke up this morning to read the news, and I see yet again another American city has had instances of violence and chaos. And this time, it's in our own backyard in Milwaukee. Now, things like this, times of uncertainty, remind me that many things can be very confusing and difficult in life. We get all the time, especially in the news, many grim messages. And then even sometimes Scripture will give us these grim messages. Today's gospel is one of those passages. It's a rather dark reading. And if we listen to it, it can really give us pause. You know, it talks about things that are supposed to be those solid foundations in our lives, like family. I will pit father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Well, it wouldn't be the first time. But those things that are supposed to be stable and solid can turn against us, fail us. And then Jesus changes the tone. He challenges us a bit. And he says that we are able to look at the conditions. We can observe our natural environment. We can even predict the weather. And yet, while we can do that, we cannot see the spiritual reality around us. Now, of course, quite often, it's very hard to look at one's own situation. We lack perspective to see our immediate reality. But the larger message here is not about our own failure of our observation skills, nor is the larger message about the failure of other people. Those are just part of the reality of our human existence. You know, the same chapter of Luke, it's quite a long chapter. And Jesus says in this chapter several times the phrases, "Do not be afraid," and "Do not worry." So the larger message that what Jesus is getting at in this passage is not about doom and gloom. What it is about, it is about putting faith in the one place that really, truly matters. And that is putting our faith and hope and trust in God. Now, in this day and age, I hear a lot of times a very frequent message, this common trope from those who dislike religion. I'll hear things like, well, faith is just a series of fairy tales, or suggesting that a belief in an afterlife is based on ego. You know, sort of the logic is, well, we like ourselves so much, we don't want to see ourselves go away when we die. Now, this is this common message I've heard in our contemporary society. Reminded me, a few years ago, I read a book by the author Francis Spufford, and the name of the book is Unapologetic: Why Despite Everything, Christianity Can Still Make Emotional Sense. Now, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a warning. If you're jotting down the name of the book, I will say, one, just so you know, there is a lot of salty language, and two, there's a lot of graphic imagery. I mean, why else would I have read it? But it's an apology for why we need faith in today's society. And in this book, he talks about seeing a sign on the side of a bus in London. And that sign on the bus said this: "There's probably no God, so stop worrying and enjoy your life." And then he goes on to talk about some of the disturbing implications behind such a message. Spufford talks about, as he's writing about this message on the side of the bus, he gives three hypothetical examples. He talks about, first of all, the possibility of what if there were a poverty-stricken woman whose husband is succumbing to dementia and all of the problems that she is facing and the challenges she's facing in her life. And then in the second hypothetical, he talks about a young boy who would be physically disabled, paralyzed, and dying from his disease. And in the third hypothetical, he says, what if there was a drug addict who had failed to kick her habit after trying many times and turns to prostitution? And dealing with all of the challenges in all of these people's lives. And then he says this about the bus. He says, quote, what the bus says is, there is no help coming. Now don't get me wrong, I don't think there is any help coming in one large and important sense of the term. I don't believe anything is going to happen that will materially alter the position these people find themselves in. But let's be clear about the emotional logic of the bus's message. It amounts to a denial of hope or consolation on any but the most chirpy, squeaky, bubblegummy reading of the human situation. St. Augustine called this kind of thing cruel optimism 1,500 years ago, and it's still cruel. We are people of faith, and in times of faith, we lean on our faith, or times of trouble, we lean on our faith. We heard this rather long reading today from the letter to the Hebrews. And in the letter, it gives examples of faith from Scripture. It talks about all these Old Testament characters and how they showed their faith. It talks about the Hebrew people crossing the Red Sea. It talks about Rahab. It talks about Samson. And it talks about David and Solomon and all these figures. And the amazing part is that these were varied people who did a lot of different things, and these people showed their and expressed their faith all in different and unique ways. Some of them, like the people crossing the Red Sea, showed courage. Others, like Rahab, gave hospitality. Some, like David, led. And some, as Hebrews points out, even as witnesses to their faith, died. And what this tells us is that there is not one single way to have faith. Hebrews also makes clear another thing, and that is that their faith did not bring them earthly reward. Now, I don't think this is to say that through faith we can't overcome something in this life, or that God doesn't do miracles or bring us through trials. Anyone who has had faith in a difficult time knows that they can lean on God and that God will bring them through it. That's not the point. Ultimately, this is not what it's getting at. What the point is that God values our the relationship with us so much that no matter what we get in life, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what trials we face, we can still hope for an ultimate perfect union with God. Faith tells us there is always hope. And talking about all of these figures and how they express their faith, then the writer of Hebrews goes on and says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy, imagine that, the sake of joy was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God. Thinking about that great cloud of witnesses, the word that is translated from the Greek as witness, the Greek word is martyrios. Now, what does that word sound like to all of you? Martyrios. Sounds like martyr. As it turns out, the word for martyr, we often think of a martyr being someone who dies or suffers for their faith. But what martyr really means is it's a witness. Now, of course, sometimes an extreme witness, but still a witness to the faith. And these are witnesses, all of these people, and all people who have gone before are witnesses that no matter what life tosses our way, no matter how difficult things get, we always have hope in the cross. We heard also this fairly dark reading from Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, in this chapter, is giving a stern warning to any people who might use faith, who might use faith for hypocrisy, abuse power in God's name. And while he's couching this in that, he says something pretty profound in that very first line that we heard today. He says, "Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth?" Now think about that. If that's couched in the terms of a warning, think about what that could mean also in a hopeful sense. There's an underlying message there. If just that line, we can hear this underlying message that tells us that God is everywhere. And for those of us who have faith and lean on God, we can see and know that there is no place that God cannot bring comfort to us. There is no place so dark, so distant that God cannot see or understand. And so when we find ourselves in times of turmoil, chaos, uncertainty, when news is terrifying in the media, when we face illness or injury or even death, we too can listen to those words of the book of Hebrews that says, "Let us run with perseverance that race." Let us run with perseverance that race. Let us be witnesses to our faith. And let us have faith that God is always there for us. And let us have hope that God will not abandon us, no matter what. Amen.